Carla Aguilar, KA Holistic, and massage therapist who pretty much works on mind, body, and soul. Massage therapy is something that, you know, it's sort of like a full circle. You have to take care of yourself emotionally, because then if you don't take care of yourself emotionally, it reflects personally, it comes out, it manifests through your body. So definitely one of the biggest things about therapy and massage therapy is just taking care of yourself emotionally and physically.
Hi, Carla. So I was just saying, like, I think I asked you at the beginning of, like, when I first started the podcast, I think I came to you and I asked you and you didn't say yes right away, which I can't remember why. Maybe because you were just like building up the business or something like that. But I didn't just ask you recently, like, the second you opened up the business, I jumped on you. I was like, I want you on. So one, I'm so proud of you for owning your own business right now. I am so, so excited about talking about that. Number two, Carla and I have known each other for a very long time without really knowing each other. So I met Carla and a recently interviewed Chili. I met them when they worked for and I'm going to say the name of the company wrong, so tell me, it's
The Base.
The Base. Thank you. I was like, all right. So my girlfriend, Dawn Henley Curtis, Dawn Curtis Henley, on the board, and Dawn and I have known each other for years. And Dawn also was on the podcast at the very beginning. And I worked for Dawn's dad, the wonderful and amazing Chuck Curtis. She talked such great things about The Base. And then when I went out and we saw all these amazing women getting involved with The Base, and I'm like, oh, I love this. I love what they're doing. And I remember coming into your office and meeting the two of you, and you guys were just funny, engaging, passionate. Like, I mean, everything just rolled up into a ball of how much you loved what The Base was. So just give him a quick little shout out. What does The Base do for anyone that wants to understand what the base is?
The Base focuses on youth, predominantly youth of color, different, you know, internet from where across the world, and provides education, mentorship, and also it is specifically a sport, which is baseball and softball, and also girls baseball. And, you know, mentorship, education, opportunities through career pipelines, work development, you know, a little bit of everything. And I've been doing an amazing job right now too, including podcasts and, you know, kind of doing a little bit of everything. A lot of organizations are doing different things now with the whole pandemic. So yeah, shout out to these.
And I have to say, like, I mean, no matter where we work, we could always do the pitch for the places that we've worked, because we love them so much. So I love that. But what really resonated for me, for the two of you, were your engagement with the community, whether it was corporate community or in the community with the kids and their parents and their families in their schools. You guys were just, you gave it your all. You gave it everything you had, sometimes to your detriment, you gave it your all. And that's what I love so much about seeing you, because when I used to be a teacher and when I used to work at summer camps, because, you know, teachers don't get paid, so we work at summer camps. And I remember my parents and friends were like, they're stealing your knowledge. They're robbing you blind because you're working so hard. I'm like, but I love what I do. So for me, I don't really care about the money because I love what I do. So that automatically was like, I go, we're cut from the same cloth. Yes, I love it. But now this is your time, which is really, really, really good. Before we start talking about the business, I want the audience to understand, audience, one person, two people, 10 people, whoever's listening, I want them to understand who you are. Where are you from? What makes Carla Carla? And talk to us all the way up to the point where you go to college, and what was your major? I will probably interrupt you if you say something that really piques my interest, but I just want you to start from who are you, where are you from, all the way up to the point where you are going to college, and what was your major?
Yes. So I came to this country at the age of 4, undocumented, and went to high school, went to Boston Public Schools until my sophomore year. I ended up going to Trinity Catholic, which is a Catholic school in Newton, Mass. From there, I graduated, went to, always an athlete, played all the sports in high school, loved playing every sport. And I grew up at the Boys and Girls Club as well. So that was kind of part of who I was. So after high school, I was able to get I became a citizen and was able to go to college. I went to Barry University in North Miami, where my major became sports management. One of my major passion was education and combining the sport with the education piece. I feel like the sport creates camaraderie, leadership. There's so many skills that you learn being a part of a team. And being around other people, personalities, patients. So got into sports management. I wanted to be a physical therapist. But then I realized that it wasn't a great idea because my first sport was swimming. And I never became a lifeguard because when I did CPR, I kept thinking, oh my God, if anyone goes unconscious, like I freeze. So... it is not a good idea for me to do this. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is not my thing. And just, you know, went into the business side of sports. So did that. I had a
I'm sorry. I'm going to pause you. Because, yeah. You know, people think I don't hear what you're saying, but I hear your words. I hear your words. So you touched base, but we're going to like go all the way back. Number one. Where are you from? Like, where you said you came to this country. From where? Where did you come from?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
came from Guatemala. I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, I think that's one of the funniest things because people know in your head, you know where you're from.
Yeah.
So you just automatically assume. I'm like, I go, well, of course. Like, what do you mean? And so I'm like, but you didn't say the word. So I didn't know. All right. So Guatemala. All right.
Yes. Sorry.
So let's talk about the undocumented part, because during the Trump years, we saw so many people with Mexico. And right now it's like, we're talking about undocumented things. So can we talk about that for a little bit in regards of when you came to this country, what year was it? Because obviously you're older. So what year was it? And how was it? What, in your opinion, what's the difference of when you first came to what you're seeing right now? Because there's decades of gap. I mean, you're not old, but there's decades of gap. What are your perceptions? And also when you're talking to your family and your friends, what are they thinking as well?
So I came to this country when I was, it was 88, 89, I was four. So I don't really remember much. My brother was older, so he remembers more. And you know, like I said, I don't remember anything. So for me, it was just, I kind of like just transitioned into a new country. Mm-hmm. However, hearing the stories from my dad and my brother, you know, it was a little different. Mm-hmm. Comparing it to now, I think things have gotten harder and difficult through the process. Mm-hmm. And now there's more like masses trying to do the same thing versus before, which is also creating, you know, something bigger. And on top of the fact that, you know, it's that, but everything else happening here amongst immigration, racism, and, you know, freedom of speech and just everything else that's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so different on how people look at it, how people view it. So yeah, there's a huge difference in back in the day, 88, 89 versus now, for sure.
When you're saying there's so much difference, I mean, what are the things that you're seeing that are that's getting underneath your skin the most? Because I think that's one of the things where people, so I mean, when you're thinking about small businesses, 99.9% of the world's population, but in the United States, especially in Massachusetts, the higher amount of small businesses are immigrant owned. And so people are coming here for the American dream, but it's not just the American dream, it's their dream. They want to achieve their dream of ownership, where in their countries, it may not be as easy. And so for a lot of people, there's a lot of people that don't want to come to the United States. They want to learn the knowledge of the United States, but they don't want to come here. But there are a lot of people that want to be here and they want to do good and they want to contribute to society. They want to contribute to their communities. So when you're talking to your family and now you own a business, what is the evolution of what you're, what you've heard, what you've, and what you've seen throughout your years?
For my family, it has always been the same. You know, my parents came here with nothing. My dad's an electrician, my brother's an electrician. So I've always been around a family of business owners. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're growing up, a teenager, you don't think about this stuff. But as you get older, you're like, oh my God, like, this is pretty hard. You're like, this is pretty hard. There's so much, so many things you have to think about that you don't even know the process. It's a little scary. But, you know, it's always been consistent with my family and my culture. And, you know, immigrants in general, like they come here and they hustle. They hustle because these are opportunities that they don't have in their countries. So, which is to me, the like, it's very admirable that you come to this country not knowing anything, not knowing anyone, not how to speak the language, but yet you can become a business owner and be successful. It just, you know, you create that path for yourself. And, you know, coming from a family of business owners, it's hard, but it's, you know, it's something that I can always refer back to my brother or my dad, or, you know, even mentors that were super helpful to through that process.
I have a t-shirt that says Haitian Hustle, because that's what it is. It's the Haitian, my Haitian hustle. And always with my Haitian sensations. I mean, like literally, it's like no joke where I remember my grandmother. I remember my dad after my dad, and my mom had their jobs and then they had their other jobs of what they created. My mom was like, she became a chef. My dad was like, literally like, you name the task you could do. So in my mind, whenever I was watching that Saturday night, that old 80s, I think it was 80s. Saturday Night Live, where like I'm gonna call it the Jamaican family. They're like, how many jobs you got, man? I go, I got two, you lazy bum. I mean, because for me, people ask me, they're like, I go, how many businesses you own? I go, three. They're like, what? I'm like, I go, and in my mind, I'm like, is that bad? Is, I mean, because there's always something. And if I'm not working, there's all these other things that I'm doing. There's always this go, 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 because we're given one life to live. And if you don't utilize it, then what's the purpose? So whether it's a short life or a long life, do a lot with that life.
Right.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you for a second. Your dad, your brother, electricians, their own business, or do they work for other people?
Their own business.
Okay. So you were saying how it's hard. So I was thinking about, yes, being an electrician, not only is scary. I see electricity. It's okay. I'm scared. I mean, it's electricity. I'm scared. So they're running their own businesses. They have electrician. How do they market? How do they engage? How do they have those customers? Like, how are they, the building, the operations, the hiring? You're observing this and you're seeing it's hard, but what did you pick up the most out of, like, yeah, they're working, but what did you observe at it? You have a real job. You're off working for other people. You know, you're getting your paycheck, but you're coming home and you're seeing them and you're hearing the conversations. What did you pick up from them the most, other than it's hard owning your own business?
It's just managing people, managing their clients, managing their time. You know, so it's crazy because I'm not a morning person and my brother's like a morning person. So there's time where he's calling me and he's like, it's like 9:30. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm in bed. He's like, what? I'm like halfway through my day. I'm like, yeah, I know, because you're crazy.
Dude, so I'm with him because I get up at 4:25 in the morning and by 11 o'clock I'm done. I'm like, I go, I've like done so much by 11. And everyone's like, go, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm done. I get up at 4:25. You guys are still asleep.
Listen, I try so hard. I wish I was that person. I wish I was that person, but I'm not. And my brother, you know, he gets up at four, like he gets up so early and he's done through his day, but it's just a matter of like, you know, he has to do that because he has to get to his job sites, manage, go see other jobs. And, you know, the great thing about that is that he's great at creating relationships. You know, that's the part of being a great business owner is creating genuine relationships with people. And he does that. And, you know, just a little, that's for me, watching him and doing that is like, wow, like that's a lot. You know, managing multiple sites, multiple people, multiple clients, going to see new jobs. Then payday. And payday. So
it's payday or pay out?
Both payday and pay out.
What was the comparison between and I'm asking these specific questions because, like, literally when we get to your business, I'm going to do the comparison. That you're watching your dad run the business, you're watching your brother run a business. What's the difference between watching your dad and then your brother? You're like, I go, we're equals. You're my brother. We're equals. And you're like, I go, there's papi and dad. So how was it for you when you're watching them both running business? And now what have you seen that now you're like, I'm taking this and running my business, or I'm definitely not doing that.
So in the beginning, seeing my brother work for my dad was very different. And then my brother got his license, he got his own thing. So they were, you know, they work a little differently, because, you know, my dad's a little old school. He doesn't speak the language that great. So for my brother's a lot easier. It's a lot easier for him, and his management it's a lot different as well. He could manage a lot more people than my dad can. And comparing it now to mine, it's like, I just work for myself. It's just me and myself. So having someone there, I'm not there yet. But even just one person, working with one person, you know, it's a transition for them because they have so many sites, they have to go different places, they have to have people to do that. So it's very different. And, you know, I don't want to be the person that goes to multiple sites all day. You know, I'd rather someone come to me and, you know, kind of the flow would be a lot easier for me. I do go to people's homes, depending on the services or, you know, if they want to pay more or anything like that, if they're, you know, sick, like there's different reasons why that would kind of shift a little bit.
How does your mom see the whole entire, like, go? I mean, and again, we didn't even touch base on what you did before the business yet. And we're not even there yet. I'm just like, trying to get little stepping stones here. How does your mother view all of this? We're like, I now have three business owners in my ecosystem. Is it just you and your brother?
Yes.
Okay. So there are three business owners. Yeah. So there are three business owners in her realm. And business owners we're opinionated on a good day. Like on a good day, we're opinionated. We're very hard. We're hard headed because we're so focused on what we're doing. How does that play in her world?
She loves it. I think she thinks it's great, you know, that we're doing our own thing, running our own stuff. She cleans houses. So sometimes it's very similar to having her own business too. So I think it's the same mentality. It's the same kind of hustle. So, you know, she gets us. And like you said, everyone's opinionated. She's an addition to that too, to that business opinion. Yep. So
that's so funny. I love it. All right. So all right, we're going back now. So you are going to college. I go, your major was what again?
Sports management.
Sports management. Okay. And then you are thinking, like, I go, I don't want someone to, like, you know, get hurt or die on my watch. How does it evolve? And from the point where you realize this kind of education is not in for me, that in regards to what I was thinking about, but then it's, you got to the point where you graduated with what degree, your jobs, and what did you get out of the job? So tell me about the job. So from the point where you decide this isn't for me, where does it go from there?
Yeah. So the athletic trainer major was not the thing I needed to go. I didn't even become a lifeguard, like I said. So I'm like, what am I thinking trying to become an athletic trainer? So I then transitioned into sports management and was at Barry University, North Miami for 2 years. I had a personal family situation, so I had to transfer back home, mm-hmm. where I started attending Salem State. Mm-hmm. It continued my major. They had the sports management major at Salem State, so it kind of worked out. Mm-hmm. And finished my major there, graduated. I you know, started doing a little bit of internship. I graduated in 2008, which was the recession. So finding a job was impossible at that time. But during college at Salem State, I became a waitress. Uh-huh. So I was a waitress for a really long time before I kind of started, you know, sort of my career.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie to you, that's good money, because I waited tables, and thank God, if you have that skill set, I feel that that skill helps you with a lot of other things too. So bravo. Bravo for saying
yes. Yes, transferable skills. Listen, if you can make it in the hospitality industry, in restaurant business, you can make it anywhere.
Anywhere. 100%.
So I did that for a while. I moved to Worcester for 2 years doing case management, intensive care case management for kids in foster care.
So I did that for that? How was that? Because I was a teacher in the Broxton school system, and we had to do a lot. We had to work with a lot of the families in foster care, et cetera. And I remember, I mean, I left teaching for a situation that happened where the child was basically abused by a boyfriend and was killed. And I was like, I want to work with kids, but this is not the way I want to do it. So how was it for you? Because Worcester is a tougher area. It's one of the tougher areas in Massachusetts. And at the time, the year that you were there, I mean, it was like, there are a lot of situations, a lot of kids getting hurt. It happens all the time, but it was at a peak for a very, very long time. So how was it for you in regards of how were you received by the parents, by the agency, you were young, and also the kids that you were dealing with?
Yeah, I was pretty young. I was perceived professional, someone that they trusted. When I worked with the kid, it was a really tough position. But the more I did it, the more I became used to it. And the more I understood it, the more, you know, emotionally I had to control my emotions. And, you know, I just had to do the best job that I could in that position, because I was looking after young kids who have already been through a lot of trauma. So, you know, we had a lot of training. We worked on a lot of skills in that position. So it was a tough one, but it was a tough one that I, you know, all of my positions that I've had in my career, I appreciate because I've learned so much from it. So yeah, it was difficult, but, you know, like I said, I learned a lot from it.
What are some major takeaways that you got from being there? I mean, I think that's one of the things where people assume a job is to another job. And I always tell people every single job is a step to your legacy. So what did you take away from that, that you still feel that it's part of you because you learned that skill set there?
Oh, I learned so much, and I appreciate everything that I learned, because one of my passions was always working with youth. Graduating college and thinking about, you know, my career, I never thought that I would work with youth who have been through traumatic experiences. So that was pretty new to me. But you don't know what you don't know. And you come across young people and you don't know what they've been through. You come across adults and you don't know what they've been through. So sometimes it's, you know, you just have to be as patient as possible, unless you are told, you know, their experience, they open up and they share. So I think it has helped me a lot. You know, no one's perfect. So there's certain things that you oversee, or, you know, you don't know how to handle correctly. Mm-hmm. But in general, it has been a strength of mine working with young people, for sure.
So what happens next? Where do you go from there, from Worcester?
So from Worcester.
I go, and energy. Like, what happens after Worcester?
I hated the city. So I quit my job and came back.
I have a lot of friends from Worcester.
Love the relationships I built. And I say this all the time too about Miami. I can never live in Miami. I love Miami.
I was gonna say, like, I mean, so I have relatives in Miami. I visit Miami. I could never live in Florida. I mean, my mom's there. I will go to Florida. I will visit. I can never, I don't, I mean, I will never say never, but I prefer not to. So I get that part, but I mean, so just, I just don't want people to know, like, Worcester is a cool place for, it has its ups and downs.
If you're a college student, it's, you know, it's okay. There's a lot of bars, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But for me, it just wasn't my city. I was used to this city. So I quit my job, came back home, went back to waitressing for a while. And then, and then I went back to some mentors. I grew up at the Boys and Girls Club called the West End House in Alston, Brighton. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because one of my mentors, who's also now one of my close friends, she introduced me to Robert. I said to her, I'm like, listen, I'm turning 30. I feel like I don't know where I am in my career. Like, I don't know what my next step is. She's like, listen, come to this event, mingle, network, and, you know, I'll introduce you to some folks that are here. I'm like, okay, we'll figure it out. So around that time is when I started coming around and working at the base. Okay. So from there, I think from there, I connected with so many people like yourself. And we even met, you and I. I'm like, you know, like, we met so much, and I'm like, I don't know, like, what's my next direction? And, like, you know, just I needed people to kind of guide me. One of the things that I hate the most is when people used to ask me, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'm like, I don't even know where I want to be now.
I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's a hard question.
I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
It is literally, I always tell people, I'm like, I go, you know what? The pandemic has taught me to tell people, I go, stop asking that silly question, okay? Because you don't know what's going to happen. Because, like, those people in January 2020, like, woo, 2020, like, this is going to be great. They didn't see a pandemic happening. So don't ask that question. Let's focus on what's going to happen the next 6 months to a year.
Right, right. So I used to hate when they used to ask me that. Like, I don't know. I don't know. So I started meeting with Robert. I started working at the base.
Robert who? Who's Robert?
Robert Lewis. Robert Lewis, who's the founder of the base. So started working with him and just, you know, also developed a lot of skills. Mm-hmm. Was able to understand a lot of the different departments and how the nonprofit really worked. So then, you know, kind of there I started getting different positions. And so at the moment right now, I am at the West End House Boys and Girls Club, which is where I grew up. So now I'm the director of family engagement. So I am the liaison for our youth, yeah, our team, and our families. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much the connector for our families, making sure that they themselves feel supported, that they have resources, and they have a space within the organization that they can trust and build a relationship with.
Okay. So you're at the Weston House, and then you're now meet Robert. Does he convince you? I mean, is there a job opening? Does he convince you to work? Like, I mean, how did the relationship happen where you went from one location and now you're working at the base? Because that's where I met you. So what's the story there? Because Robert is definitely a very, very large personality, very persuasive. I go, but you're young and you're not sure where you want to go. So how does that relationship come to be?
The same way, like I said, I was waitressing. I didn't know where I wanted to be, what my next move was. Mm-hmm. I started taking math, maybe I should just go for my master's in education. Maybe this is what I should do. So I started meeting with him, the same conversation, like, you know, I'm trying to figure out my career, what I'm passionate about, what I love to do. Mm-hmm. And the base kind of represented everything I wanted to do, which is the education piece, the sports piece, the youth. So, you know, I met with him one-on-one and he kind of, you know, helped me, mentor me through the process. And he's like, come around, check it out, see how you feel. You know, we're growing as an organization. Maybe there's not an opportunity here for you. So I started doing that. I kind of focused all summer doing that. I was also doing a little bit of consulting for a metal recycling company that summer. Okay. which was working from home. So I was doing a little bit of that on my own time, and, you know, I was able to be flexible. Mm-hmm. So I spent some time at the base, and then when opportunity opened, you know, he's like, are you interested? Is this something that you want to do? So that's kind of how I got involved and started working there.
And how many years were you there?
I was there for about three years.
Okay. You, all right, so one, I'm surprised it was only 3 years because it seemed like you were there for such a long, I mean, it really did feel like it was longer than, was it really just 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
There's no way. There's no way it was 3 years because I, you know, well, all right, so wait, what year did you leave?
17, because I bought my house in Brockton in 2017.
Really? Okay, so this is me where I thought, right, clearly I'm not paying attention to what you're doing. Because I honestly thought, so I left the place that I don't like, it's the business I don't ever mention the name because I don't like, everyone knows I didn't like where I worked. Only place I've ever worked in my life that I will talk poorly about because I just hated working there. But I left there in 2017. What, we left at the same time?
I believe so.
So what happened between 2017 and 2022?
So I ended up at Parenting Journey in Somerville. So it is an organization that provides, what are they? They're like courses or they're not trainings, but they're like sort of like courses that parents can take for like new parents that are struggling with their children, families.
I'm going to pause you for a second. I swear to God, I thought you said horses, not courses.
Oh. Courses. No. Courses.
And I'm like, parents can take. I'm like, what are you talking about? Parents can take.
No. So it's for newly parents that, you know, just want to get to learn a little bit of parenting, how to handle things, how to navigate being a parent. Uh-huh. So I work there for their development team for fundraising. So I did that for 2 years.
Okay.
I worked there for 2 years and then
raising money. How was that? Because you went from, I mean, being with the kids directly, and being with the families, like working with organizations that there's funding, there's not a lot of funding, but there's funding that's coming in. You're getting a regular paycheck to a fundraiser. And I know that at the base, you're definitely involved in that as well. So if you're thinking about a company, anyone's company, operations, finance, marketing, go back to finance, raising money, people don't enjoy. It's not something that, there's no university of raising money. There's no university of sales. So how did you even navigate that? I mean, that's a whole new skill set that most people can never, ever hone in on.
Yes, it is. And it's a skill that I learned at the base. It was, you know, Robert was like, listen, you have the personality, you have people are, you know, you have something. He really pushed me in that department and that skill. And I'm like, no, I can't. He's like, yes, you can. So he really pushed me, which I'm happy that he did. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a definitely, like you said, a skill that no one teaches you that. You just learn it and, you know, you just go with it.
Yeah.
So I did that for a little bit at the base. So when I left the base, I kind of had that in my resume. So I did that with Parenting Journey for about 2 years. That last year is when I realized and started researching sort of like a different, sort of like my business. Like, what can I do to make me feel excited about something that I enjoy, that I'm passionate about? And through my research, I came across massage therapy. And it was very similar. Not too similar, but it was very similar to the athletic training part, right? Like taking care of people, making sure that injuries, like pain and all this stuff that they're going through, you know, you're healing someone, that you're helping someone in that process. Mm-hmm. So I loved it. And, you know, I didn't realize how transformative it is for even people with PTSD, with just things that it was like crazy. I'm like, what? Like it was insane how transformative that profession was. And I'm like, I definitely have to do this. So
So was it more so that, I mean, you went to someone and you experienced it yourself? Was it because you saw it? How was it that an individual that was focusing solely on, I mean, I mind you, yes, you started your school career with this, but you said, this is not for me. And then all of a sudden, full circle, you're back to doing what you said was not for you. So how did that even happen where this came to be? Because if you're going to start a business, you could have gone into the family business and become a woman electrician. So what was it about this? You just said it was a transformative. I mean, whether it's PTSD, whether, you know, an individual that has ailments, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, I know many people that have fibromyalgia. It changes their life in regards to just dealing with my body hurts all the time, or you're dealing with an athlete. There's so much things going on. What was it about this particular business that you're like, this is where I'm coming back to?
I think it's just seeing people on a consistent basis with injuries, just being in pain. I'm like, you know, seeing someone in pain, like, hurts me. And I'm like, what can I do to help this person so they are not in pain? Like, you know, you're constantly saying, like, what can I do to help? And I always thought, like, the only person in my mind, I'm like, you can only help this person if you're a doctor. Like, I don't understand how you could help someone. Mm-hmm. So researching it and kind of, you know, looking at this profession, and my mother had mentioned it to me. She kind of planted a seed, like, oh, you should look into some of this stuff, and, you know, it's something that you enjoy. So I started doing that. I started researching it, and it was just something that I connected with, and I wanted to be a part of something where I was making a difference, and I was making, you know, I was helping someone that needed something different than just a doctor, you know, because that also, you know, Western medicine is very different as well. So a lot of people are no longer looking for that. They're looking for alternatives, holistic, natural ways to reduce their pain. So I felt like that was kind of, you know, a part of me that I've kind of been wanting since before. Mm-hmm. And like I said, just being an athlete, you just start running and your knee hurts. You're like, oh my God. Or, you know, like your calf or anything. So I just wanted to be part of something that, you know, I could really, really, really make a difference and help out.
I am a runner. I run marathons, and the amount of money that I've spent on acupuncture, on scraping, on cupping, on all of it. I mean, just so much, because you go to the doctor and the first thing they want to do is write a prescription. And it is by far one of my biggest pet peeves. I took care of my grandmother for 21 years. She died at 95. And literally the amount of meds that the doctors would put her on. And I'm like, we don't need this. We don't need this. We don't need this. And I was like, you can't take her meds out. I go, I'm going to take her to acupuncture. I'm going, like, I would find other things. And of course, we're Haitian. And so she always had her little remedies as well. And yeah, she lived to 95 years old, died naturally. She had Parkinson's, congestive heart failure, diabetes, and dementia. And she died naturally at 95 with all her original teeth, but one missing. So apparently we did something right. So,
right.
So when a person's in pain, first thing, they want the pain to go away. I mean, they just want it to go away. And I'll give you where I was, I had this stupid thing called, a frozen shoulder, the most random, stupid thing that I've ever heard of. And I got it during the pandemic. So I avoided going to the doctor, because it was during the pandemic. I'm like, frozen shoulder, what the hell is that kind of crap? And it's just like your shoulder just basically freezes up and you can't do anything with it. And every single time when I started going to the doctors, literally medicine, I'm like, no, I'm not taking any of these things. And then I was taking Aleve. And then of course my stomach was just like feeling gross because I was taking Aleve. And then finally acupuncture, deep tissue massages and things like that, it worked. How do you get people to understand their bodies versus the, I'm going to rush to the doctor, or I'm going to rush to CVS. Trying to throw CVS underneath the bus, but that's what we do. We rush to pharmacies, and we rush to get the over-the-counter meds to solve this. And now you're in the world of mind, body, soul, understanding who we are. How do you take everything that you've learned, and now you're in this, like, this realm of teaching us how to take better care of our bodies?
Some people don't know. They don't know the alternatives. And sometimes they do, but they don't really know what those are 10 alternatives really do and how it helps. So depending on, you know, like one of my biggest things that I got trained in was lymphatic massage.
Yep.
which is very light. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand what the lymphatic system kind of even
does. Most people don't, they've never heard that word ever, because when you're thinking about anatomy, that word never comes up.
Exactly. So, you know, just kind of sharing my knowledge and understanding and helping them understand what, you know, some of the parts, some of your body parts, some of the systems you have, and how they, everything is connected in your body. Everything is connected. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like what you do to your right, you do to your left. And, you know, like whatever might hurt on your upper back might be connected to your feet or your calf or something. So kind of letting them understand what that looks like and the alternatives to that. So it is a constant, you know, sort of like training and kind of letting them understand what I do and how I do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't bother me. I think it's great. I think that's why I became a massage therapist, to really talk to them and share the knowledge.
When you are dealing with an individual that has if I said a fibromyalgia, a PTSD, like something that's longer. So most people, I'm an athlete, I have something that hurts, fix me now, and then I'm gone. 2 or 3 visits. But then you're dealing with individuals that need you for a longer period of time. Some people, if they don't see results quickly, they bounce. How are you working with individuals to engage with them to understand everything in the process? Because I think that's one of the things that people don't even understand. Even when you're building a business, people don't understand everything is a process and there are steps to it. So how do you work with people? And I think that this could be the same advice for someone that's like engaging with business. People want fast results. They want it now. I want it fast. I heard about you. I heard you're a miracle worker. But how do you educate an individual to understand that? Like, what's your process, I should say? What is your process to getting a person to understand that it may take longer or it may be shorter?
Yeah. Just telling them from the beginning, like setting the expectations early on. Like, this doesn't go away, you know, like you've been dealing with this pain for how many years and you think you're just going to have one session and it's going to go away. Like, that doesn't help. You know, it's like you said, it's a plan. It's an individual health plan that you have to create in order to get better. Just like the pain took its time to develop, you have to take the time for it to go away. So, you know, I feel like the expectations have to be there. And I do a great job at sharing that in the beginning. So we're all on the same page as well.
How was it for you? I mean, actually, before I ask that question, who's your best client and what exactly do you do for your clients?
What was the second question?
Who is your best client and what exactly do you do for your clients?
So my best clients, I have a few that are very consistent. They're also runners. They're very active and, you know, they do a lot. So they've been great. They've been consistent. And what I do, I've gone to their homes, worked on both of them, and, you know, just continue creating a plan on the areas that they're feeling pain at the time. And they've been very consistent to at least getting massages like once a month or once like every 2 months. So
I'm going to stop you for answering the question, because I'm going to clarify. So if you're looking to get more clients, who are the best clients that you want to work with? And also, what are the different things that you do? So like, if I'm coming to you as a new client, what's the list of things that you do for clients? So who is the ultimate list of people that you want to come to you? Because I know not all massage therapists are made the same. So who are the best people that you want to work with, that you want to engage with, that if they're listening are like, oh, she's talking to me? And also, what's the list of things that you do for them?
I like injury. I like to work with injury. And another cohort is post-op. So a lot of women are getting plastic surgery. A lot of female and male people are getting plastic surgery. So that is another cohort that I've been working with as well, which is specifically working with the lymphatic system after a traumatizing surgery or procedure. So those are pretty much my two biggest clients, injury and post-op, which I really enjoy. And, you know, just to me, even just taking care of yourself, having a massage twice a month or once a month, to me, just makes a huge of a difference just for everyone who is has a crazy schedule, who is stressed, just anything, you know. And I get a lot of those clients too, like, listen, like, I just need a massage because I'm stressed out.
Well, it's so funny that you say that, because people are, the first thing that people see, like, I go, a massage, one, I don't like to be touched, and two, I'm not going to pay that kind of money. But yet they would pay for a big huge jug of Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. And so I always think, like, which one's a better investment for your body? The coffee, the big old, not even just a coffee, like, because, you know, if you're international, a coffee is small. It's a little small cup. But I go, you're getting these big jugs of coffee, and yet you don't want to then pay for a massage, and the massage is the entire body.
Your entire body. And it, like, you feel like a different person. Like, you feel like a new person after a massage. So it's taking care of yourself. Like you said, it's an investment in a lot of, and you know, the whole touching thing, it's very difficult because you, like we talked about earlier, trauma, like you don't know what people have been through. So yeah, a lot of that fear comes, you know, you see that too coming in this sort of work as well. So it's a whole, it's something, it's bigger to unpack with an individual person. And like I said, I try to make everyone feel as comfortable as possible and, you know, just work around how their comfort level, just because you just don't know how, you know, what they've experienced in the past. But yeah, like I said, everyone, I feel like everyone always needs a massage. Everyone needs it. If you haven't, get one and you make the decision and be like, oh, it wasn't worth it. Or, you know, I need to invest in this because it's great for my mind, body, and soul. And yeah, so those are kind of the people that I love working with. And yeah.
And what is the process of what do you do? I mean, so I know, I mean, massage is no longer just like, I feel like I'm a grease ball after it. Massage is no longer that. And I go to, I'm going to say it wrong, so you have to like probably correct me. Actually, you definitely have to correct me. So I go to a Japanese massage. So what's that? It's literally with her thumbs and she's deep in there. What's that one called? I'm gonna have to look it up, but I mean, she's gonna be so mad. Naomi's gonna be so mad at me because I don't know what she does, but she, I mean, but it's deep tissue. And when I tell you it hurts, but I literally, oh my God, it hurts so badly because she's getting really in there. Yeah. And she's like, it only hurts because you're full of knots. I'm like, I'm not full of knots. I swear to God, I'm not full of knots. But I leave there. And I mean, I feel like I'm floating when I leave there. Cause it's just like, everything is just released. My neck is like, everything is just like, she's like, stop sitting in front of the computer all day. I go, I have to work. So that's a thing. So what other than, and then she does cupping as well. So what are the processes of what you do other than like you can't say it's just the word of massaging. So what steps or what other items do you provide?
So I do cupping as well. I do cupping. I mix like a regular massage with cupping, depending on tension and area that they want to focus on. Mm-hmm. I like to do a lot of stretching. I feel like when we stretch ourselves, it's very different when someone else is stretching you and you're just like laying there and someone's like doing it for you. It feels different. Yeah. So I also incorporate that as part of my massage as well. And you know, just throwing other stuff in there. There's like other, like, what else is
the scraping?
The scraping.
All right. So can you explain that? All right. So the massage, everyone like here's massage. I get that. The stretching, everyone gets that. Cupping, although it's been around forever, people are just new to this. So what is cupping? What is the purpose of it? And same thing, scraping. The scraping I had done to me, I swear to God, I felt like it was corporal punishment. It hurt. So why? I'm sure these things have been around forever, but the scraping and the cupping, what does that do to one's body?
So the cupping, and you know, it's for your range of motion too. When you're tense, it's releasing the toxins in your bloodstream. So sometimes when the cups come off, you'll see that it leaves a sort of like a the circle. Because your blood flow and it's releasing all those toxins. So after you cup, you have to massage it right after to make sure that the blood that is coming together is going back out into the system. So it's kind of like cleansing your blood flow. You know, and everything, it's very similar to just the regular massage too. It's just cleansing, it's helping you with the blood flow, with the tense that you have in your body, your muscles, range of motion. So, you know, for each individual person is very different based on how they feel and what they're trying to work on.
Okay.
To be honest, the scraping is very similar, but you use it towards the muscle, right? It's like you're moving some of the knots, some of the tension, and working the muscle differently. You know, because depending on the way you, the muscle is going, like the muscle is going towards a certain angle. So you scrape it that angle or you scrape the opposite, depending on what you're trying to do with the muscle, you're trying to manipulate it a little bit different. But for the most part, a lot of the things that I like to do is very, very like just hands-on. I try not to use a lot of stuff like products. I don't like to use a lot of them. So probably the cupping is probably one of the biggest things I use other than, you know, just my hands and the stretching.
Do you ever recommend someone to combine things as in like I go acupuncture and a massage or a massage? And I mean, like they have those like, you know, sitting in a tub of ice. I mean, there's so many different things that to stimulate your body to have the blood flowing. Again, it gets to the point where you can go down the rabbit hole of Google and you know that one thing works and then you're like, oh, I'll add this. And then I come back to you and you're like, what are you doing all these things? Cause I feel like I'm now having to like go back and fix all the things that you're Googling or all these herbs. Like, you know, like someone takes one herb and then all of a sudden they have like a row of herbs that they're taking. You're like, you know that you shouldn't be mixing this with that herb or not, natural or not, you shouldn't be mixing certain things. And so, I mean, do you recommend people like using your services and someone else, something else? Or
yeah, absolutely. Acupuncture, you've tried acupuncture and I'm pretty sure it has worked. I haven't done acupuncture, but I hear that it's something to refer to as well as a massage. Some of my clients do both as well and they love it. So yes, I do recommend both of them. Not one thing works for everyone. Right. So, or they all work for you, massage, acupuncture, everything. Like, you know, I feel like if it's natural, if it's something that you feel is holistic and is going to help with whatever you're feeling, go for it. Definitely go for it. Like I said, just, you know, definitely do your due diligence and make sure that you're working with someone who knows what they're doing. But yeah, I would recommend all those things for anyone who is trying to figure things out because not one thing works for everyone.
You talked about PTSD earlier and we could definitely touch base in regards to the pandemic. So what year did you start your company?
So that weekend, that Sunday that we shut down.
March 2020.
It might have been this last weekend that year where everything shut down. That was my last day of class when I graduated. It was the last day of class. So I barely made it. I like barely made it. And I'm like, wow. Like I was very relieved. I was excited. I'm like, this is it. So because I finished everything that I needed to finish.
Yep.
So all I needed to do was apply for my license and do all this stuff. So I was very excited.
But then
I, you know, I just really worked with people that I trusted, my family, and kind of built it like that. So I didn't really start building my business till recently. Like in a scale where I have my website, I have this, I have that. And with that, I also had to reach out and talk to people and have a mentor because I was just so scared of this process that I'm like, what do I do? What's the next move? Like, what do I have to do? Like, do I do it this way? Am I doing it correctly?
Well, scared because you were it's all, I mean, like now you have your license and now you have the idea of like, this is the business I want to go to. Were you scared about all the legal entities that you had to do, or were you scared because we were in a pandemic, or were you not even taking the pandemic serious yet? Because at the beginning, I thought it was only going to be 2 weeks. So, surprise! So what part of it was the most fearful for you? Especially because you graduated really, I mean, I was in Mexico on stage and I was like, and I got home 4 days. So I got home on that Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, I got home on Monday and then Tuesday I went food shopping because everyone at the state house, they're calling me, they're like, go food shopping now. I'm like, why? I just got back from a trip. They're like, go now. And then Wednesday we shut down.
Yeah, I think all of it scared me. Everything. Just where to start, how to market it. Like I wasn't even marketing. It was just people I knew that I was close to, that I trusted, that they trusted me. So that's kind of how I built my clientele in the beginning, which was great because I'm like, I know this person, I trust them, and I'm just getting started. So I'm actually just, you know, practicing now with my license. Mm-hmm. So I got that. I think, you know, once things, well, we knew that this was going to stay for a little bit.
Yeah.
I started to really think, okay, once we get out of this, like, what is this going to look like?
Yeah.
What is this going to transform into? And what do I need to do that? Mm-hmm. I'm not really big on social media. So everything that I've heard was you need to get on social media to market it, to do this, to do that.
You do, but it's on your terms. I always tell people, you have to go on, as a business owner, it's a tool for you. So if you don't use all your tools, you're not winning it, but it's on your term the way you design it.
Yeah. So, which I didn't really understand because I was not on social media. So that was also another scary part for me. It was just, you know, it was marketing it too, because I'm like, okay, if I do this on weekends, like what are my weekends going to look like if I market it and I'm full? And I have a full week of like a full-time job. So it was just a combination of being scared of everything. So one of my friends connected me to her friend who built her business during the pandemic. So I started talking to her and she like was amazing. She helped me a lot through the process. She's like, listen, like I'll guide you. Like, let me know what you need. Like it was amazing how many people are out there that you think wouldn't help you, but they do. So there are people out there. So, you know, sometimes we have this like thing about not trusting people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just gotta, you know, trust, just let it, you know, I like to say, just let God take the wheel.
It's true. No, it's, I mean, I double down. I'm like, oh, God and the universe, they work together and they make things happen. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, just opening up, and I was able to do that, and she was able to help me a lot. So, you know, without her, I think, you know, and it's stuff that you already heard from people, but when you have someone that doesn't know you, that has built something already, that experienced the same thing you have, that's, you know, understands what you're feeling, you know, it was easier for me to be like, okay, maybe I can do this, you know? So she was able to help me a lot into where I'm at this moment.
Nice. Perfect. What during the 2 years of you're building a business, but, and you're building a business and you also you're actually practicing, but we're like 2 years in, like we're going into our third year. I mean, like I've been saying, we're going to our third year. I've been saying this for quite some time because I feel like we've been on our fifth year, but we're going into our third year of the pandemic. There's different variants that are coming around. There's definitely people that are afraid to leave their houses still. People are afraid. People are tense. People that don't want to go into the workforce anymore. People that don't have to go to the workforce. So you're dealing with all these different individuals. How are you seeing how when you envisioned this business 2 years ago, when you graduated, to now you've seen all the ups and downs of the pandemic? How are you seeing, and especially now we're at the, you know, we're talking, and I say this in quotes, we're talking war. War in regards of us being involved in the war, more so than just watching the war, but people are watching and people are getting more, they're getting tense and they're getting scared. How are you seeing how your work, and not just your work, but your industry overall, how do you see you evolving into what's going to happen next? Because it's been a long 2 years and I feel like there's going to be more things to come. So how do you think that you and your industry will evolve as we go on from here?
I think we are going to evolve in a way where people are going to need us a bit more. They're going to need us a lot more. We're going to be sort of like an alternative also, in addition to therapy, counseling, therapy. Because like I said, emotionally is connected with physical emotions. So it's going to be sort of like hand in hand. And I don't know, with the pandemic and all this stuff, my business wasn't like full blown. I had my space, you know, I was paying for a space. People were coming in and out. So I don't know what that looks like for other people who actually had to shut down their space, you know, and decrease their income. Like I haven't experienced that. So I don't know how it's going to evolve that way. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to evolve similarly where you got to meet where people are at, you know, and if you can't right now afford the space or, you know, especially with gas too, it's even going to people's homes is going to be difficult because you're going to have to pay for gas. And so I think it's going to be tricky. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tricky either way. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you have to figure out the best way that you can continue your business, whatever works for each individual.
Yeah. And I think that you hit it on the nose when you said that we're going to be like massages will be another step of therapy, because literally it, again, you said it earlier, mind, body, and soul. This is exactly what you're talking about when it's mind, body, and soul, because you can't take care of one thing and not take care of others. Everything is connected. When you were saying the blood flowing, everything is connected. And so I love that you said this numerous times to hear that. One last question before the last question. To anyone that is, and you see that there is a great exit of people leaving their jobs. When you decided to leave the traditional job and you decided to start your own business, what was the process for you? Because I think that a lot of people are looking and they're like, I know I have a skill set and I know that I want to be able to create a place where I own it and I'm sharing my skills and I'm teaching people, I'm helping people, et cetera. But there are a lot of people that are like, I'm afraid, I'm just afraid. So what would be some words of advice that you would say to someone that is right on the edge of leaving their job, leaving that paycheck and starting something new? What are some steps that they should be aware of and think about?
I think it's understanding where they are in building their business. If you're at a good position where you feel comfortable leaving a steady job that is providing a steady income, you know, everything looks different for each person. So just trust yourself. You know, sometimes people might say, take risk, just leap into it, like just go for it. But you have to know where you are to do that. So, you know, if someone feels confident that they are, or they have other means of being financial stable, having other sort of like plan Bs, you know, if there's a safety net, if there's something, go for it. Or if there isn't, and you just trust yourself that it's going to work out. You know, also the mind is a powerful thing too. It's the way you look at life. You know, you cannot not be optimistic and think that something's going to be successful, right? Like you have to be optimistic for it to be successful. Mm-hmm. So if you're being negative and you're not being optimistic, then it's not going to work out. So it's building that mind frame that it is going to work out and having solutions, having ways to make it work. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, people need to trust themselves that they have the power to do that. And if you don't, you don't. Just, you know, wait till you have that. Wait till you have that power to say like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it now. You know, I was really scared with my website and I just knew the right moment where I needed to market it, when I needed to do all of this. Like there were certain things that I needed on that website that I'm like, okay, I feel confident about this. So let me go for it. So I think
I'm with you where like I always tell people, I go, you can wait till it gets perfect, or you can just put it out there and then tweak as you go. Because right. you waiting for it to be perfect, it's like, it's not going to happen. That's just like whenever I hear any of my friends are like, yo, we're saving up to have kids. Really? Because when you went to that wedding and you guys had a lot of drinks, and then she got pregnant and you're like, damn it, we're not ready. I'm like, I go, well, that baby's going to come out. So what are you going to do? So I think that's one of the things where it's, I'm happy that you went live with the website, but people are so scared to have what's out there. I'm like, you not see those celebrities out there? They have it all hanging out at all times, and it is what it is. So get yourself out there, because if you don't know, and I say this for myself as well, if you don't get yourself out there, you can't tweak it because you can't get the feedback.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So, you know, you just know when it's the right time and when you need to do it. So, like I said, just at the end of the day, just do it. So you can, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Now you make it better. So it's a trial and error. It's trial and error.
And again, I'm proud of you. I am so proud of you when I see my friends having a business, like literally they started their business, I'm like, I get so excited, because if you had asked me 13 years ago, would you ever own a business? I go, hell no. I love my check. I love my 401k. I love my things that were automatic. And if you asked me literally before the pandemic, you're going to own 3 companies, I'm like, no, no, no. And I literally don't know. Meaning, could I work for a person again? Sure, maybe, possibly. But I love what I do so much because I love who I do it for. And that passion for who I do it for, and when they have the aha moments, makes me so happy that I could not even fathom that experience of working for a big firm and having access to the real, genuine person saying, oh my God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't feel better. I go, my body wouldn't react this way. My company would not grow this way. I wouldn't market myself this way. So I love just seeing that you took the risk and you're doing this and you stuck to it, and the pandemic or anything else didn't scare you. So
thank you. Thank you. And you have to figure it out. Like you said, you have 3 things going on. It's the, you figure it out when you are passionate about something, when you love something, like you figure it out. Like I have a full-time job. I have my business. And you know what I mean? Like now I just recently became the board chair for Chica Project. And it's
Wait. So you're still working full time?
Yeah, I'm at the Weston House though, full time.
I thought you left. Okay, so God. So see, look at that. You're not a lazy bum. Look at that. You're on a board. All right, so you're on a board. So what's the board?
It's I'm the board chair for Chica Project.
What is that?
So it's an organization for young women of color. It's a mentorship program where they have educational access. We have a curriculum that's in the high schools, middle schools, and we're trying to expand it throughout the state. And we provide access to women like yourself, professional women, for these young leaders, future leaders, that will have access, will have someone to talk to, will have someone that they can relate to, that look like that, you know, that are in these big positions and say, you know what, I can do that because they're doing it and they're giving me the advice, they're giving me the access, they're giving me, you know, all the tools that I need, the skills. It's an amazing organization, and I'm super happy and I'm excited about this new role.
How are you juggling all 3 of them and plus a life? So you have the job, you have your job, you have a job, you have a board, and then you have your life. How are you juggling all of that? And you're a homeowner.
And you have to figure it out. I figure it out and I manage it. Listen. And I do still have time to sleep.
Whenever someone asks me about all the things I do, they're like, when do you sleep? I go, dude, I sleep. I don't own a TV set, so I don't do that whole entire staying up till 11, 12 o'clock watching TV. I go to sleep and I love my sleep. So I'm very happy that you sleep too, because you look really refreshed. You look really refreshed. Who do you go to for massages?
So the funny thing, and my class laughs at me all the time because I don't really like them. My body is really sensitive. Oh my God. My friend was like, you need a buff? Because I was like, you need to go light. Like, don't, you need to go light. Like, because because I don't like pressure. I don't like I my body's so sensitive. I'm like, don't go hard. Don't put any pressure on my body, please. So it's really funny, but they laugh at me all the time. I'm like, yeah.
The massager that doesn't like to be massaged. I love it.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's like the doctor that doesn't go to his doctor's appointments.
Exactly.
I love it. All right. So I have taken so much of your time, but I love getting to see you, and I love like really. All right. So once we say goodbye, don't hang up because we're gonna talk offline. But I always end the interviews with the same question to everyone, where if you had a personal ask and a professional ask, what would it be? We as small business owners, we as entrepreneurs and incubators ask for our companies all the time. We ask everything for our companies and our businesses and our services, but we don't ask for ourselves. So if you had a personal ask and a professional ask, what would they be to anyone that is listening to you right now?
So a personal ask is just, you know, just kind of...
Wait, your mic just went funny. So you sound like you just inhaled helium.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you sound like you're far away. But all right, we'll go with that. But something went wrong with your audio.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
My personal ask is just, you know, show up as yourself. You know, anywhere that you go, in any business or any massage, like, just be easy on yourself. You know, be easy on yourself and be easy on other people, because there's so much happening in the world right now. You don't know what people are going through. So anywhere that you go, just, you know, be patient and be easy on that. That's a personal.
What's your professional?
Professional is just, you know, find someone that you trust. Like someone that, you know, you can find a mentor that you can connect with, that when you're stressed out has been in the same space that you are, that has the experience, that, you know, you can really get some feedback and some honest feedback. Definitely do that for yourself, professional.
And just like that, your interview was beautiful. I love, this is great. I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. I mean, this was so good to see your beautiful face. And again, we're going to talk offline, but I mean, this is like, I'm just so proud. I cannot express enough how I get so excited, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family, whether it is just like an individual that I just met. I mean, and this podcast has allowed me and granted me and gifted me the opportunity to meet so many people that I would have never met. And the stories are just so much fun, but they all start from the beginning of your days. And so that's why I always ask, tell me about who you are first, because I can see the connection. Once we get to your business, it's very clear, versus if you just came on and started talking about the business, my mind would be like, I go, wonder, where did this come from? This is kind of weird. But it 100% makes sense to me why you own your business. It 100% in every single way. I love that your family instilled this in you. I love that you went to someone and you got mentorship, which is, I'm a big, 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 big fan of mentorship. I love the fact that you rode through the fear. I mean, you rode through the fear and you still got through, and you went full circle from what you went to school with and you thought, and you had major doubts on, and now you're doing it. And it's just funny how you went full circle of, I'm not doing this. And now you are saving lives, because if you are sick, if you're not feeling good, if you have PTSD, if you're stressed out, all those elements are the same exact thing that you were dealing with at the very beginning. And you're helping a lot of people. So thank you, Carla, for doing what you do.
Thank you so much. And yeah, like fear, everyone's fearful in life, right? It's just a matter of trying to figure out how to overcome it. And people will get there. But fear is going to be there. So just try to find a way to get over it, you know? So
you're the best. This is not the last time we're going to talk, my friend. Let it be known.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.